Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
Well, today, I want to tell you a story. Everybody likes stories? Even if you don't, you're going to get it anyway. So you can just listen. But once upon a time, there was a guy named Hab. Everyone say Hab. Hab, he did not play for Montreal. His name was Hab. He had a weird name. His full name was Habakkuk. I think you should try saying that. Habakkuk. Aren't you glad your parents didn't name you Habakkuk? Yeah, parents, please don't pick that as a baby name over the next little while. That is not. But Hab, he was what some would call a God man. Now, if you were considered, you know, in his period of time, if you're considered a God man, you'd kind of think that that would get you a little bit of favor with God. In other words, you'd be, you know, kind of in tight with God. You were a God man. God would like, he would be having, you'd be close to him. You would have some perks. You'd maybe have some blessings. Wouldn't you think that? If people considered you a God man, you'd think that was a good thing, right? There should be some blessings. Except for Hab, it wasn't so much blessings, it was burden. And Hab was burdened with the task of living in and navigating through a really intensely dark, confusing, and even doubt-filled period of history. And what he was seeing and what he was experiencing around him was very different from what he was believing in his heart about the way things should be. Anybody relate to Hab? Where you've got this idea, this is the way life should be, and it ain't happening how you're seeing it up here or believing it in here. Anybody relate to that? What you're seeing, even maybe what you've experienced in your walk and following Jesus, it's like, well, I thought following Jesus was gonna fix everything. But after following Jesus, it seems like all hell's broken loose. And you know what? Maybe we believe that God will do something, but then he doesn't. And I think this is something that, man, we can all relate to. Whether we're in this space right now, and maybe that is kind of like a little bit of what you're facing right now in your life, in your journey, whether you're a Jesus follower or not, whether, you know what, you're in this faith journey, or whether you're just trying to do this thing, it's kind of like your expectations and your dreams and your 5 to 10 year goals that you wrote out, they are not even near where you had envisioned and thought you would be. I think we can all relate. And if you're not there now, guess what? You will be someday. Isn't that great news? Come to church and be encouraged. But listen, let me show you where Hab was at in life. You might be able to relate to him. And if you've ever thought the Bible was this nice, sanitized book, this is anything but sanitized. And you, it's true. There is so much. If you've read the Bible, if you haven't read the Bible, and you might want to read the Bible, because there is a lot about the Bible that relates to life more than we think. But Habakkuk 1:1-3. This is how Habakkuk starts. Can you imagine? This is how he rolls on the scene of history. How long must I cry out, O God? How's that for an opening? How long must I cry out, Eternal, when and get no answer from you? Hello, God. Look at this. Even when I yell to you, look at this. How many of you know yelling at God? You know what? God would rather have you yell at him than everybody else around you. God can take your yelling. Did you know that? He can handle your yelling. Even when I yell to you, violence is all around, you do nothing to save those in distress. Translated, this is not fair, God. Anybody ever feel like that about circumstances in life? He goes on. Why do you force me to see these atrocities? Why do you make me watch such wickedness? Translated, why do I have to face this? Fine, have you ever had stuff in life you just face? It's just like there's no way around it. You can't run. You can't hide. You have to just face it head on. He goes on. Disaster and violence, conflict and controversy are raging all around you. Raging all around me. In other words, life sucks big time. And then he goes on, your law is powerless to stop this. Injustice prevails, which translates, you're not doing anything to stop this chaos, God, huh? What do you have to say about that? Oh, happy day. Hab wasn't too much of a happy camper, was he? He was going off, he was in a place where it's like, this is terrible. Now, before you decide, I'm going to sneak out. I'm going to pull out my phone, go on social media, because this is a little bit too much of a downer in the morning. I want a happy day. I came to church because I wanted to be happy. And you are not making me happy. You are downing me big time. I'm just going to shut you out, lady. And maybe you're watching online and you think you're going to change. Do not switch. Stay with me, because it gets better. I promise. Everyone say it gets better. I promise it gets better, because today I want to offer hope and how to. Everyone say hope and how to. Hope and how to. See, it's one thing to give people hope. It's another to tell them how to get into that place of hope. And I want to give you hope and how to for those times and places in our journey when life happens, when disappointment happens, when we face stuff that is just confidence shattering, and we really just want to crawl in a hole and stay there. Or we want to kind of take the posture David described in Psalms, where he said, I wish I could just fly away to a happy place. I want to give us hope and a how-to when life happens. So if I were to sum up Hab's life in three statements, it would be this. Number one, why God? Everyone say, why God? Why God? Number two, when God? Say when. When God. And the third one, whoa God. Whoa God. Okay, good. You got it. You guys have had your coffee. First service was a little bit on the sluggish side. Just saying. Second service, you got your caffeine, you got your sugar, whatever you were eating out there. So good. Why God? You know, when the dark stuff of life happens, and it will happen not because God isn't in control. You know, I find it so interesting that when bad stuff happens, God gets the blame. God, why didn't you? God, why didn't you? God, why didn't you? Yet when the good stuff happens, how often do we actually praise him? And see, Habakkuk was in this place of why God? Why God? And see, when that stuff happens, it's not because God isn't in control. It's because there's more going on to the story. There's more going on than the current chapter of the story we're working in, we're walking in, we're experiencing. There is more going on behind the scenes that we can't begin to see and we can't begin to understand with our limited human senses and our limited human understanding. Everyone say, there is more. There is more. See, when darkness, when confusion hits, and there is so much, just so much emotion in us, we are yelling at God. The real questions are why God, or even how God, but who? See, when the stuff happens, when life happens, it's so easy. God, why? God, why? God, how could you? How could you? How could this? How will this? But you know what? The real question is not how or why. It's who. Everyone say who. Who? Who will you lean into? Who will you trust in this and through this? Who are you going to run to? Who will you lean into? Who will you trust? See, the answer to Hab's who was God. And I want to ask us today, who's your who? Look at the person beside you and say, who is your who? Who is your who? Who is your who? Now that might sound like a kid's story with an, ow, I just spit all over the front row. Sorry, guys. It's a little bit rainy there. Is that for real? No, thank you. Adrian's like, love you in the front row. Who's your who? See, there is only one who that can sustain you when what you're going through does not make sense. And that who is God. And see, when God, when all of that why God stuff in life happens, you know what? God doesn't just want to give us answers. He doesn't want to give us solutions. He doesn't even just want to give us relief. He wants to give us himself. He wants to give us because God himself is so much more than an answer. God himself, his person, God with us, is so much more powerful than you getting a solution, than you getting an answer. Now that tends to come when we follow God, but sometimes it doesn't. And God's asking, will you trust me anyway? God wants to give us himself, his real self, and not our perceived version of him. See, Hab thought he knew God. He thought he knew who God was. And if you look at chapter 1, we're not going to read chapter 1, but if you read chapter 1 of Habakkuk, you basically find this. You find Hab going off on God. He's like, God, why are you doing this? Why are you letting this happen? Why is all this taking place? This is not like you. This isn't who you are. This isn't what you do. This isn't the way you do things. I don't get it. It don't make sense. This isn't fair. I'm not impressed, God. But number two, now he moves into when God. When God. And I like to think chapter 2 starts out with Hab's having maybe a little bit of a pity party. Read this, chapter 2, verse 1. What's God going to say to my questions, huh? I'm braced for the worst. I'll climb to the lookout tower and scan the horizon. I'll wait to see what God says, how he'll answer my complaint. How's that? Hab's, I just imagine him. You know, the tower he's talking about was a lookout tower. And he's just like, okay, I'm going to go sit in my tower. He's just sitting there. It's like, okay. Show me your stuff, God. Come on. Come on. When do you answer me? Yeah, I've been complaining. Have you not heard? What are you going to do? Huh? Are you going to do anything? Yeah, I didn't think so. God's like, shut up, Hab, and write. Why write? Because I want you to record for all of eternity what I'm going to say to you so that all of those coming after you who are going through tough stuff like you are going to know what to do. And this is what God says in Habakkuk 2:2-3. He says, write down this vision, Habakkuk. Write it clearly on tablets so that anyone who reads it may run, not run away from God, but can continue to run in the purposes of God. For the vision points ahead. Everyone say points ahead. To a time I have appointed. Come on, you know what? God's time and our time looks so different. It testifies regarding the end. It will not lie. For even if there is a delay, wait for it. Everyone say, wait for it. Wait for it. It is coming and it will come without delay. That makes no sense, God. You said, if there is a delay, and then you said it won't delay. What the heck are you talking about? And you know what God was wanting Habakkuk to get? He was wanting Habakkuk to get that God's time and our time are very different planes. They work very differently. And we can't on this side where all we know as finite creatures, all we know is the beginning of when our time started. Maybe we can remember back to when we were kids. Maybe we can't. The farther along on that timeline, the less the little years you can remember them. Somebody asked me something this week and I'm like, why can't I remember that? Like, I thought that was like my childhood. That was really important. I should remember that. But our timeline is very different from God's timeline. And that's what God was trying to get Habakkuk to understand that God being outside of time, things look very different from his perspective. And what can look like a delay on our end, God's going, just wait for it. Just wait for it. In other words, what was God doing here? God was readjusting Hab's perspective. Hab was like, why don't you do something? God's like, I am doing something. Just wait for it and watch for it. You know, I know personally, in seasons when it is tough and those things that you're just like, sometimes we can get so worked up. There is so much emotion inside. where there's so much chaos and uncertainty around us that we're just like, we are frantic. We're running here and trying to sort this, and we're trying to fix this, and we're like trying to keep busy so we don't have to process, and we're trying to do this, and there's just so much. We're running here, there, and everywhere that God is trying to speak to us. But we're too worked up and too busy that we can't hear what he's trying to say. And you know what? God was reassuring Hab. He's saying, it might seem like I'm absent, Habakkuk. It might seem like I don't care. It might seem like I'm not doing anything, but wait for it. Promised, I am doing something. I want you to say that with me. I am doing something. God is doing something. It's like that song we sing where God is telling Habakkuk, I am the way maker. I'm the miracle worker. I'm the promise keeper. I'm the light in the darkness. That's who I am. Even though you don't see it, I'm working. Even though you don't feel it, I'm working. I'll never stop working. I will never, never stop working. God is always on the move. He is moving towards you. And so after Habakkuk writes all these ways out that God will work to make things right, this is what he lands on. Look at Habakkuk 2:20, the very end of this chapter. He says, but, I think you need to say that with a lot of gumption, but the Eternal One is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent in his presence. In other words, Habakkuk had begun to see that even though it didn't look like it, God was still very much on the throne. And to say that God was in his temple or that God was in his throne, that was a way of saying God is with us. God is right here close. God's not us to be, in our minds, we have this idea of heaven up there some way, and we think God's on the throne, he's removed. That is a wrong way of thinking. You know where we get that? We get that thinking from a long, long, long time ago. Some Greeks thought that they were smart and said, God's way up there, humans are way down here on earth, and God doesn't care about us. And we have a thinking in our mindset today that believes God is far removed from us. He's up there in heaven on his throne watching everything and dictating and directing. It's like, you're good, you're bad, you're going to hell, you're not. I'll see what's happening to you. And you know, God's just kind of doing his thing. God's not like that at all. For God to be on his throne literally meant God was here on earth. His space, heaven, our space, earth. Right now they're separate, but one day they're going to be together again. And whenever they talked about God being in his temple, God being on the throne, it was the people's way of saying, God is here with us. We got to remember, God is here with us. God is here. See, no other God in any other nation's history came to earth to be with his people. All the other stuff you learned in school about all these other cultures, the Greeks, the Romans, all these others, every god is already up there. They're far away. But God, the real God, came to earth to be with us. And he got in and got close. God was still very much God. He was very much present on the throne. And see, when you have a revelation of who God is, God with you, God with us, something changes, something shifts in your heart. And this is what happened to Hab. He moves from why God, when God, to whoa. God. Here we go. This is where it gets a little bit crazy. Everyone say, I'm ready. Habakkuk 3:1. Here we go. A prayer of Habakkuk. It's kind of hard to say that name. Just say it again. Habakkuk. Okay. A prayer of Habakkuk set to Shigionoth. Try to say that word. Shigionoth. Shigionoth. You're going to say it like you mean it. Shigionoth. Just say it with some unction. Now you can, just like you pretend you're swearing in church. Shigionoth. And go home and you can say to your kids, shake it off, you, whatever. Or don't do that. Shigionoth. You know, Shigionoth is a musical term because Habakkuk, he wasn't just some weird guy. He was actually a poet. He was a musician. And he's giving instructions for how all of chapter 3, which was a song, was supposed to be sung. In other words, Shigionoth was how to sing a song. So, for instance, when I say, sing me a lullaby, you know what that's supposed to sound like, right? You might start singing, lullaby and good night. La la la, rock goodbye, baby. Okay, I'm not gonna keep singing. Or if I say, sing me a love song, you're not gonna go, we will rock you. No, you might start singing, can you feel the love tonight? I'm not even gonna sing it. You know what it's supposed to sound like, right? Shigginoth, say it again. Shigginoth, this is what it means. Shigginoth means to sing with strong emotion, with impassioned exuberance, wild, passionate singing with rapid changes of rhythm. This is not your mama's hymn song. Oh, no. Some of these people come to church like, why are you guys singing all that crazy, wild music in church? Because of Shigginoth. That's why we have this wild, passionate singing with rapid changes of rhythm, high spirit of praise, vigorous enthusiasm. Oh, he was praising God. He was excited. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is Kanye, not Ed Sheeran. This is like, oh, yeah, we're going to do it. Oh, yeah, come on. Let's get the beat going. Oh, yeah. We're going to get this. And he's getting all mad. See, what began with a question mark in Hab's mind ended up at an exclamation point. And see, that is where God wants to take us. He wants to take us from all of those questions. God, why? God, how? Why didn't you? Why won't you? Why can't you? Why aren't you? And he wants to move us into this exclamation point praise where we are praising God. This was Habakkuk, all in, full out, praise and worshiping God before anything changed. Before anything got better, he was praising God even though, and this is meant where he goes shaking out all the depths of his soul. He goes on, Habakkuk 3:2-4. I have heard the reports about you and I am in awe when I consider all you have done, God. All God has done. Everyone said has done. Has done. You know what? If God would never do a single good thing on this planet, everything he has already done in creation itself is enough to give him praise. Even if God would never answer another single prayer of yours, he would still be God. The reason we get up in the morning, we can get up and the sunrise and we're greeted with a brand new day every morning. That alone is enough to praise God. Look at all you have done, eternal one, revive your work in our lifetime. Reveal it among us in our times. Even if you don't have any good stories of what God has done in your history, you know what? That's why God gave us his scripture. Because those stories of God parting away through the Red Sea, those are our stories. When God turned back time, did you know God actually turned back time in scripture? There was a king that was crying out to him. He's like, God, what's, I just need a sign. I need a sign. And God said, well, what do you want? And he's like, I don't know. Like, make the time go backwards. And God did. There was another time in a battle. God made time stop. Because people were fighting a battle. And it wasn't going great. And they prayed. And God stopped the sun in its tracks. And God's people won. And you're like, why isn't God doing anything great like that today? He's done something better. It's called the cross. The cross that has given us power that all these people never had. I consider all you've done. Revive your work in our lifetime. Reveal it among us in our times. As you unleash your wrath, remember your compassion, God. God is on the move. His splendor overtakes the skies. His praise fills every corner of the earth. His radiance is like a bright light. Rays stream down from his hand, and there his power is hidden. Oh, you know what Hab was doing? He was using praise like a weapon. That's exactly, he was focusing on God's goodness, God's faithfulness. God, you did this before and you can do it again. And then if you read chapter 3, oh, you look at what he starts using language like, when God stops, the earth shakes. Mountains tremble at God's approach. He shatters mountains. The enemies are in terror. God's bow and arrow aimed at his enemies. You split the earth, God. God's marching across the earth to rescue his people. He turns the enemy's weapons against them. What is Hab doing? He is rehearsing God's badassness. Man, we serve, we worship, we follow a badass God. And he is not some wimpy, removed, you figure it out on your own kind of God. God is right there with us. He is right there with you. God is a badass God, and he is vehement against the stuff that hurts you. He's vehement against the stuff that breaks our heart. And see, when you are facing dark seasons, we don't just endure. Do you know why? You know what enduring is? Just kind of, I'll just grin and bear it and hope for the best. You know what that is? That's passive. You know what happens when you're passive? You get pushed around. You get pushed around by fear, by lies, by doubt. But see, when you take Shigian off, it's like you're just like, oh man, I'm standing my ground. You're not going to take me out. This is not going to take me out. This is not going to cause me to question and doubt and pull back. See, this was praise in the middle of pain. Praise in the middle of process. See, the choice to lean into God, to lean into who, when the why doesn't make sense, man, this brought Habakkuk to a crazy place of confidence. Look at this is how he ends up. The end of Habakkuk. 3:17-19, even though, everyone say even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die and the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God, you're going to give me feet that's going to make me a mountain climber, climbing over this big thing that I'm facing right now. What is a mountain that's gotten in your way of God's goodness and God's faithfulness? A mountain that just seems so big, whether it's been there for a few days or it's been there for many years. And this is what Habakkuk had brought to God. He brought to God this, God, I will praise you, even though I will. Even though I'm praying and I haven't seen answers yet, even though we're believing, but we haven't seen this happen yet, even though I've been asking for this job or this provision, but it hasn't come yet, God, even though I don't see it, even though I don't feel it, God, even though I'm going to praise you, I'm going to shiggy and off, I'm going to get wild and exuberant. This isn't the kind of praise that's a balloted drinking beer ballad where you're just like, oh, woe is me. Maybe God will come through. No, this is like intense. This is like, we will rock you intense. We will rock you. Even though I will. I want to invite you to stand. I want to ask you to close your eyes. I want to ask you, what can you bring before God in praise today, even though? What can you praise him for even though? And I want to invite you, if there is stuff right now, whether you've been facing it, feels dark, feels confusing, feels overwhelming, really intense, or just something that's just like, I just don't get it, God, I want to invite you to lift your hand, and I want to pray, and I want to agree with you, because I really believe God is going to release, man, there's hands all over the place here. Maybe you're watching online, and that's you too. You know, I want to encourage you, just lift up your hand. It might be weird. You might be by yourself in a room, watching, you're like, oh, I don't lift my hand. Well, dude, there's something about that surrender, asking God, God, I need you. I want you. Father, you see every hand. Father, the circumstances, you know how big they are, how overwhelming they are. Father, maybe they are, Father, long-standing mountains or just mountains that look like they're starting to grow in this recent season. Father, in the name of Jesus, with the power, the authority we have in Jesus' name, because of the cross, because of the victory on this side of the cross, God, we declare that, Father, even the overwhelming circumstances, Father, must bow to how good, how great, how faithful you are. God, we just speak faith to rise up in every heart. God, I pray that you would just cause that praise to rise up, that I will praise God to come alive in every heart. And God, that even though, Father, the circumstances might not change externally, God, we can change internally by allowing that praise and trust in you. God, would you be the who in every single circumstance? And God, I thank you for supernatural strength, supernatural power, supernatural provision in Jesus' name. Why don't you just put your hands down, but keep your eyes closed. And I want to pray one more prayer. And you know, this is for any in this room, or maybe you're watching online, who you're not in a place where you're following Jesus. See, the only way you can have crazy confidence in God like this is when you follow Jesus, because he leads us. God will lead us beside the quiet waters, even when it's stormy around us. We can walk with him, and Jesus is that door to the reality of hope that is real here now. He is the doorway to experiencing God's heaven on earth now in your life. And if you're not following him, we're going to pray this prayer together out loud, and it's a way of saying, God, I want to follow. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Let's pray together. Say, Jesus, thank you for everything you've accomplished through your death, through your resurrection. Thank you that when you rose again, you started a new chapter in the story. I say yes to the reality of your kingdom here on earth, your new creation life. I want this reality to be the defining reality over my life and my story. I trust you. I follow you. Thank you. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.